Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time it is that you're joining me for this Pentertainment podcast. Thank you, you inky savages, for joining me yet again. This week's podcast is sponsored by Penchalet, spelled P-E-N-C-H-A-L-E-T, at penchalet.com. Please check them out by clicking on the radio/podcast link at the top of the website. There's going to be a code box, punch in Penboy Roy. This week's deals are pretty awesome. I mean, they're usually awesome, but this one in particular is really awesome. The one that really catches my eye is the last one. There's only three. For some reason, there's only three. Ron, there's only three. We got to work this out, okay? We need more deals. But the third one, I think, is actually the best one. It's one of the best deals for this item on the market. Let me just leave it at that. I can't say it out loud because I don't want to ruin the surprise. You got to go on to penchalet.com, type in Penboy Roy in the radio podcast link and check it out. I also like the first one second. Does that make any sense? So I like the third one first, the first one second, and the second one third. So check those deals out. And if you're listening to this podcast, please shop at penchalet.com because he sponsors my podcast. And if you're not shopping and buying stuff when you're going to buy it anyway, then maybe he'll be like, why am I spending all this money on this severely awesome podcast if it's not yielding any results, which it is. So thank you guys out there for your support. Thank you, Ron, for your support for the Pentertainment podcast. And I just want to give the usual disclaimer. This podcast is not scripted and therefore will contain potty mouth words from both Tom and I, mostly from me. So be forewarned. You have been warned. Now, on to the podcast.
The Penboy Roy Pentertainment podcast. Stage 7.
And inky.
Great.
It's firecrackers.
Yeah.
Pop, pop.
I'm going to keep that in for the intro. After the intro, all that clapping. I like it. I like it last week, too, because last week you made some, like, funny sound effect noise that I started the podcast off with.
And so I'm like, booyah! Or I don't
yes,
know.
Yes. Because you know why? Because we took the week off before that and everything like that, so... I thought it was just a funny way to start it. And this week, we're going to start with your clapping.
Yay!
So what's good with you? Anything?
Oh, you know, it's just like my friend said a couple days ago. It's like, oh, yeah, it's almost Friday so that we could spend the 2 days of the weekend doing the same thing we've been doing during the week. Yay!
You know, it's funny. It's like I was talking to a guy at work and, you know, we're working and I'm like, hey, what do you got going on? You know, this day, your next day, couple days off. And then he was like, well, I guess just nothing. And then I realized, yeah, you got to be really specific about talking about your plans when it comes to what you're doing on your days off during this lockdown. Because it's like, you know, before this lockdown, it's like, oh, I'm going to take my wife to Tack Room and we're going to have a nice dinner. I'm thinking about having a chocolate souffle maybe for dinner. Who knows? I'm not sure yet. Right? But now with this whole lockdown, when you talk about your plans, it's like, well, I think I'll be sitting on my couch by 12 and I'm not going to scratch my hip until 12:15. You got to be real specific, you know?
Or it's like if you're trying to clear something else, like getting together for a Zoom meeting or something like that, it's like, oh, what time's good for you? And it's like, yeah, pretty much any time. Like, I was trying to get together with my brother. It's not get together physically, but like we were going to do a drive-by social distance meet because it was his birthday yesterday. So I was like, oh, so what time's good when we could come over? And he's just like, pretty much any time. So, it's not like he had any other place to go.
Yeah, yeah. It's like plans are way easier to do with people. Like being late is inexcusable now, right? Like you're home.
Yeah. Well, unless for example, somebody just springs up all of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, you know, let's do a Zoom meet. Here's the link. It's like, oh, whoa, I was not ready. I am not even dressed for that sort of thing. I have to put a shirt on. You know, I have to run a comb through my hair.
Right.
You know?
It's funny.
It's like, give me about 10:15.
Before we started recording, you were like, hey, let's do a live Instagram Q&A with people and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, crap. Now I got to wear a shirt and pants. And
yeah, I got to look somewhat presentable right now.
Right. I'm like, oh, Well, we can't do that today. Though, mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea. I think we should do that, do a live episode or something like that.
Yeah, just to hang out for a little bit mm-hmm. and get some ideas, because, I mean, sometimes we get a drought of ideas about what to talk about in this thing.
We just start rambling, and then an idea will be born of the rambling.
Yes.
Right? Like, we're talking about lockdown.
We need to have some sort of solid topic, though, like pen-related topic to discuss.
I think we always talk about pens, right? We very rarely deviate from anything pen-related.
Oh, gosh. How much deviation that there is. Mm.
So, yeah. I mean, we were talking about lockdown and coping with lockdown, but I really feel like within the next couple of weeks, the lockdown is going to end. And once the lockdown does end, it doesn't mean, hey, let's just go back to licking doorknobs and kissing glass randomly and shit like that, right? No, you got to still be careful. You got to do things with more awareness when it comes to germs and shit like that. So I wonder, for people who are listening, will that change your behavior? Would that change your habits when it comes to taking pens to work? Clearly, motherfuckers that are like, oh, can I borrow your pen? Will be told to fuck off promptly. But aside from that, what kind of behaviors are you, Tom, going to change when you go back to work when this lockdown ends, with regard to the fact that the coronavirus could be still looming in the air?
Well, I mean, for me, it's a little bit different, because I think you don't have to really worry about so much people are just grabbing pens right off your desk. I think a lot of people have to be concerned about that at their place of work. So you want to make sure that, you know, people these days, I think, are going to be a little bit more sensitive to that thing. Let me not touch so-and-so's stuff at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas before it was like, oh, I'm like looking for a pen I need to sign something with. So let me just grab it from this dude's desk, you know, and just put it back when I'm done with it, or maybe just take off with it. But nowadays, I think it's going to be a little bit more, compartmentalize, as far as like, you know, this person, this is their stuff, and don't really touch any of their stuff. But even more so, I think, with working, you know, in an office that, you know, sells pens, it's like we all kind of know that our pens are our pens, and that it's very important to kind of keep our stuff to our own. I would probably take less pens out. I would probably keep more of them home, maybe only just take a couple of them with me to right. the office. Just because, like, then you'd have to worry about less contact with, you know, the whole array of collection of pens, you know, so maybe like just two, as opposed to like taking seven or eight of them. Mm-hmm. Definitely taking them in a pen case, that's for sure, because then that way you could store them in there, as opposed to like having them outside on your desk laying around for somebody to possibly take.
Well, when this lockdown ends, what kind of pens will you be taking to work? Or are you going to have pens that you leave at work and then not bring home? Or are you going to just have a pen that you take back and forth constantly? Because my plan is this. Like, I don't want to leave my pens at work. So I'm going to mm-hmm. take pens with me, but I might slow down with the number of pens I take with me and the type of pens when it comes to cost. Like, for example, I think the Twisby Go is going to be one of the pens I'm going to be taking to work, because mm-hmm. it's like $18.99. It's cheap. Something happens to it. It's also easy to clean. Like, literally, you can just run it under a sink with dish soap and water and pump the thing, so that way you're just squirting out all the ink if you want to clean it out. It seems really easy to clean when you get home.
Yeah.
And the quickest.
And you're not going to be heartbroken that if it gets completely COVID up, like, let's say all of a sudden, you know, somebody that you know has it, like, grabbed it off your desk and just sneezed right on it. You could be like, you know, goodbye, Twisby Go.
And goodbye, person who just fucking picked up my pen and sneezed on it.
Like, well, you might have to, in order to toss out the Twisby Go, you may have to, like, pull it out of their chest, you know, after you stab them with it.
There's going to be some sort of an accident where he falls down the stairs over and over and over again, where there happens to be no security cameras. He's going to be getting out to his car, and for some reason, there's going to be an accident in the parking lot where another random car just slams into him.
Who knew that the Twisby Go could fit in somebody's ear canal?
Who knew that the Twisby Go could slit someone's throat from ear to ear?
Yeah, but they didn't mention that in the instructions.
Yeah. So, like, you would take what kind of pens would you take to work?
I would still, I'm rather bold. I would still take my my pens I have here as like my top pens, you know, my pride and joy type pens. I would only limit them to maybe like one or two. You know, okay. So like my best of my best, I would probably still take them. I do have some that are in a pen cup on the desk, but they're mostly just rollerballs. They're like just ones I just take out, and if I need to sign a form really quick or whatever, I have them there. And those will continue to be there. I won't take them anywhere else. I'll just leave them there.
Why don't you just take that whole cup and dump it in the toilet?
I just may like Lysol the crap out of it. Just it's all over.
So
if we still have Lysol at the office.
Speaking of Lysol and stuff like that, so let's say somebody like wants to go bring a pen to work and come home. What would you wash your pen with? What would you clean your pen with?
I mean, this was something that I actually had asked a pen manufacturer. His name's Pierre from Desiderata Pens. Mm-hmm. And he had actually responded, because like I know that he deals with a lot of different materials and that he manufactures a lot of pens, you know, just himself personally. And he's a big geek when it comes to the materials and the nuts and bolts scientific aspects. So he was able to give me a pretty detailed response, and he actually posted it on his blog, on the desideratapens.com blog, about how do I disinfect a pen. So I think just the gist of it, kind of, you know, your general idea of like, well, what's going to be the safest for like all different types of materials? He goes in very specifically, but like the general answer is soap and water. You can't really go wrong with soap and water. And I mean, that's the same thing to be said of when we're trying to wash our hands, like soap and water is going to be the best. I mean, like, you know, the hand sanitizers and all this stuff is kind of really rare nowadays, and you don't want to use it so much. But soap and water is your gentlest but yet most effective solution for a wide variety of different materials.
Right. They say that soap and water is the absolute best when it comes to cleaning your hands of viruses and pathogens and all that shit.
Yeah, but if you want to get really detailed and be like, well, I have a pen that's made out of cellulose acetate, or I have a wood pen, or I have a stainless steel pen, he goes over every single type of material to really talk about, like, well, this would be most effective for this. This would hurt, you know, like, if you tried to use bleach on this, it's not a good idea. Do this, do that. So, like, I would just leave it up to checking out that blog post on there. What I do is like every week I do when we do the podcast, if you want a link to it, go look at the Ink Journal blog, and there'll be a link in the show notes of the podcast blog that I do, the podcast blog post. So right. Like I'll put a link to this particular Desiderata pen blog post in my notes. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds very difficult, but you know, you'll find it somehow.
You know, so soap and water is good, but I was just scrolling through Instagram, and as I was scrolling through Instagram, I saw a photograph of the platinum, how do you say this stupid pen, platinum Caritas?
The Caritas, yeah.
Yeah, the Caritas. I'm thinking to myself, now that would be a pen you don't want to take to work, because you can't run that under a sink with soap and water. Like a Twisby Go, you can. It's really simple, easy to take apart, easy to dry off, easy to clean the ink out of, like I said earlier. And I'm thinking, wow, this Caritas is probably the worst idea if you were trying to keep it clean. But I'm looking at this post by Mountain of Ink.
Yes.
Mountain of Ink, she says. I'm going to read her post. I pre-ordered the Platinum Caritas back at the beginning of February. And now that it's here, I've got to say I'm not impressed. The nib is awful. It's very stubbish. Choked ink flow and railroads badly. It is sorely in need of a nibmeister. And the nub on the bottom of the pen is right in the way of how I grip it. I will probably end up selling it, since I rather hate it. But it would have to go to someone who knows how to fix the nib, or is willing to pay a nibmeister to fix it. Am I the only one that dislikes this pen? I thought I would love it since I love the Vanishing Point so much, but the nib is a mess and I can't grip it correctly. That, I think she validates all the shit I talked about this pen previously with you. Did I talk about it on the podcast, or did I talk about it like in private? I can't remember.
I have a hard time remembering that too.
Well, I talked shit about it.
I wanna lean towards, we did discuss this on the podcast.
Okay.
I wanna lean towards that. I couldn't tell you what episode if you're like, oh, well, I gotta go find that. But, you know, it's probably been a few episodes
in. Right, right. But I'm just looking at this thing and it's like, what I can't stand is what Mountain of Ink is talking about. There is a nub on the bottom of the tip of the pen where the nib comes out of.
That drives me crazy too.
But what the fuck was the point of it? There was no, like, they could have not did that, but they chose to do it instead. It's like,
well, that's what kills me about it, is that it kind of seems like it's a it seems that they wanted to address the whole clip getting in the way issue, like have that the vanishing point people who criticize the vanishing point usually talk about that clip getting in the way of holding the pen. So Platinum's like, all right, well, let's give them a removable clip. That way it doesn't get in the way of their grip and writing, and they can have a clipless pen. But at the same time, then they added that little nub at the bottom of where the trap door opens.
Why?
And it's just like,
I don't
dude,
get it,
man. It's you eliminated one problem, but then you added another.
Right. It's like, let's get rid of the clip so that way it's not in the way, but we'll just put something in the way on the bottom instead of on the top.
That,
we'll
that
show
could
that.
Be possibly more obtrusive than the clip ever was, you know?
We'll show, pilot.
And I never realized, after writing with that pen, now I realize it, I never realized how I grip my pen, that sort of design would get in the way of how I write with a pen, because I do tuck my middle finger more underneath the grip. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm fighting with this thing the whole entire time I'm writing with it. And I know that a lot of people, they grip their pens all sorts of different ways. So I'm not going to necessarily say this pen is garbage because of that little design feature, but that's just me. I can't write with that thing because it just will get in the way all the time.
It's a dumb idea. Well, like, it's easy to not do something, right? So like, if I told you to add like a fin on a fucking product, find a place to put a fin or a nub, just because now you gotta figure out where to put the nub. But if I told you
it's like they took like a sports car that's got a spoiler on the trunk and they moved it to like the front and the hood.
Right? Like, why don't put a dorsal fin on the fucking roof of your car, guy? Okay. Like, it's easy to not do something. Why did they do that? I don't understand it.
That's like trying to tell my son not to do something and then he just goes and does something else that's like related. Like, he just does that sort of thing all the time. It's just like,
hey, I'm wondering, is that the same blue, like turquoise greenish color that's on the Platinum Kung Fu?
It looks like it could be close to it. I think it's more closer to, if you look at the Prefonte. Mm-hmm. That inexpensive line, the $10 pens. If you look at that one, I think that you would find that's very close.
I hear you. I mean, this pen design is pretty dumb. Let me look at these comments. She's got a lot of comments because, you know, she is popular. But there was one I was just looking at where like somebody was like, "It's a terrible design," and stuff.
Yeah, I think even Brad from the Pen Addict recently, he did like an unboxing on YouTube and he has a red one that he was looking at. And, you know, he's just like, I don't hate it, but I'm trying to determine how much I actually do like it. Because I think what most people feel about it is that it's not like a great thing. I don't think anybody's going to come out and be like, this is the greatest pen ever. I don't understand what all of these people are talking about, but they're not going to go out and say like, well, this thing is, you know, I think it requires some work. I think that there needs to be a newer version of it that comes out like redesigned in a couple, maybe like in a year or so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So one guy writes, I hate it. I had Pen Realm fix up my medium nib, but the pen is huge and poorly designed with a clip and that permanent, he wrote nib, but I think he meant nub, underneath. Big thumbs down from me. And then to top it off, he wrote a thumbs down emoji. I like it. And then then he came back with a little asterisk and says knob.
Mm-hmm. Instead of nub.
Right. So I was wrong. He meant knob, not nib. Or nub.
Yeah.
So, and this guy's name is T-Rex the Cat 55. So like you, I don't have the pen. So am I being fair by judging it? No, but if something looks stupid, I don't need to do it or have it to say it looks stupid. Like, for example, Tom, if I see you outside and, you know, you're jumping face first into a telephone pole, I don't need to do it to know that you shouldn't do that to your face. This pen, I'm mm-hmm. looking at it, and I'm just like, I told you this from the very first video that you uploaded on Gold Spot with the, like, the introduction, the unboxing.
The unboxing,
the live
yeah.
unboxing. And then when you flipped it around and showed that stupid, god-awfully, poor design nub, I was like, oh my god, that's just dumb. And then look at
Well, that was the big surprise for me, because all of the photography, which there was only just the one view of the pen, was all from the front side, where you would see the clip. So you would not see that little nub until the unboxing and like looking at it like, oh, that's what they did to this. And they didn't like bother to like actually show, you know, that in the initial photography. Like, I can't imagine what it must be like for people like Kelly from Mountain of Ink, where she, you know, let's say pre-ordered this thing, sight, you know, unseen, except for just that one forward image. And then you get it and you're like, what the hell is this?
Right.
What do they put, like, why do they put like a little goatee on this pen? You know?
Yeah. It's just so stupid. Like, I need an answer. Like, this needs to be resolved. Like, who the hell is drawing out blueprints and shit, designing pens, and they're like, hey, you know what this is missing? You know what this streamlined pen is missing? A fucking nub. You know what I'm saying? Like,
God.
And don't these people have meetings with each other where they're like, hey, listen, here's an idea. No, 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 dude, that's a bad idea. Get rid of that idea. Like, there mm-hmm. has to be more than two people that looked at this design. And at least one of them has to be like, dude, what the fuck is this little nub here? What's the point? Like, what is the point?
And really, I mean, like, design aesthetics and the design of the pen aside, the nib just kind of not performing correctly. That's a Bush League, you know.
Yeah, and
that's,
you know,
quality control lacking,
100%.
You
know? So like, if this nib wrote fantastically, is that a word? I don't know. I like to make shit up. If the nib wrote really well, I wonder if Mountain of Ink would be like, hey, listen, this pen is huge and there's a fucking stupid nub at the bottom of the pen that's getting in my way, but it writes so well, I like it anyway. Would she have done that? You know what I'm saying? And I wonder, what would people's opinion be of this pen if there was no stupid, dumb fucking nub at the bottom, or knob, or whatever we want to fucking call that stupid thing that's there, that doesn't need to be there?
Well, I know that there's also some people who are like, this pen is way too big, and the knock being all the way extended, the plunger part is like, makes it really long. It just seems absurdly long for that, you know, that plunger button that's there. And I know that there's some other issues that are there, but I think that they probably could have, you know, resolved 80% of the complaint by not having that like little goatee that's there, and then also having the nibs be properly quality controlled, you know, where they're right, writing nicely out of the box. I've heard some things here and there about it, and it does seem that the overall, that there are some degrees of variation in the level of quality control on the nibs, but that particularly the fines and extra fines are that they're not good, like that they have like a little bit of a flow issue or hard starting, and that they're scratchy, and you know, this one being a medium point and she's having issues with it, and it's like, dude, it's not a good, you know, response right out of the bat. But like, people are still clamoring for these things because they didn't send nearly enough of them out at first. Like, they're still, because of the whole COVID thing, they're still shipping, you know, fractions of what they were supposed to send to the United States.
Do you think that's their business plan? That's their model? That's their way to get this shit out the door? They're like, we're not going to produce or ship out a lot of them. It's going to make people want them.
You know, that's what, like, the Nintendo philosophy, right?
Right.
Like, Nintendo usually does that sort of thing, but possibly not. I don't think, you know, particularly pen manufacturers are that savvy when it comes to the whole market demand structure. They're just kind of like, we're grateful that people actually want to buy pens.
yeah. Oh, man.
We'll send them. Yeah, oh, you want to buy pens? I'll send you 500 of them.
Man, I gotta say, this pen is surely a disappointment. I really think it's really bizarre. I'm certainly not going to get it. Maybe I should, just to review it, and that way I can, like, slam
it. I was going to say, you know what? Whenever you tell me, it's like, I'm not going to get this pen. It usually ends up being, like, a couple minutes later. You're like, you know what? I don't think I get this pen.
Well, you know me pretty well.
I can't even talk yourself out of it.
You know what? The thing is, though, I have different reasons. I have different goals. It's not like I'm going to get this pen and write with it and love it and take it to work. And if I, listen, people make fun of me for having so many fountain pens and spending so much money on fountain pens as it is. I don't need to add to that by bringing this stupid dorsal fin fountain pen to work that has like a 6-inch plunger to push. Oh, and by the way, disassembling the pen, watching the video on disassembling the pen and how to take it apart, it's like disassembling a firearm, like a spring here, this, that, the other thing, twist, pull, turn. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's definitely not as easy as like taking apart a vanishing point. That's for sure.
I just took apart a vanishing point right now. Look. The most complicated part about the vanishing point is the nib section that goes into the barrel has a little nub that fits into the threaded section.
Right, and there's a slot for that threaded section for it to go through. So if you can't really put it in the incorrect way. It just will give you so much resistance.
But you can try to be stupid and put it in the wrong way and be like, oh, what's going on here? Like,
if you could be really
fucking stupid and like be like, oh, I don't know what's going on, until you keep finding the little knob that fits into the little slot. That's the hardest part about it, and it's not hard at all. I bet you I could hand this to like a 3-year-old. We play with this pen, put it back together, and then the 3-year-old will put it back together
and it's broke. Well, you know what also is a bad design feature of it is that spring. The fact that the spring comes out, because the spring loaded issue on the vanishing point, that spring does not come out. You can't go fishing around for that spring. The spring on the Curados completely comes out, and it's a very thin spring on that at the same time as well. So if you, let's say, take the spring out, let's say you lose the spring, all right, you're screwed then, because like then the pen's not retracting if you lose, and then you have to find this very specific spring that probably Platinum's the only one that produces that spring, and I don't know of anybody who actually carries the extra springs here in the United States. Maybe the distributor might, but you lost that spring, that's it. Like, that's like losing a ballpoint spring. You can't use the retraction mechanism, pen's useless. But at the same time, even if you don't lose the spring, let's say you take out the spring and then you like put a book on it, or you accidentally like, you know, lean on it like with your elbow or something, or it falls on the floor and then you stepped on it. If you put any, and that spring is thin, so it will be malleable to the point that like if you do put a little bit of excess pressure on it, that spring is getting kinked, and then you are also screwed.
Yes.
So, you know, because then that loses the whole entire tension of that spring, the perfect tension that was meant to be able to provide the retraction mechanism, to provide the proper pushback when you do want to retract the nib into the pen. You've ruined it. That's it. And that's all it took, was that one little piece to get lost somewhere or to get mishandled, and then you've ruined the whole entire pen.
What is the cost of the Platinum Curados?
It is $80 retail.
Wow.
So, you're not talking a cheap pen here.
No, it's got a metal nib. A metal nib. What the fuck is wrong
stainless
with
steel.
A stainless steel nib metal. I'm such a stupid idiot. Duh.
And in reality, the pen's construction, like the actual material construction of the pen, isn't that much more elaborate or complex or that invested than, let's say, your Prefonte or your Procyon pen, which is a pen that's of a considerable less cost. The Prefonte is probably made out of that same PMMA type of plastic, and it's only $10, whereas this is 8 times more expensive because it's retractable and larger.
I don't think the Prefonte is made of PMMA. PMMA.
I think it might be.
I don't think so. I think it's just like the cheapest injection molding, because PMMA is expensive. It's not as expensive as acrylic, but it's way more than regular injection molding. And for everybody listening, if you don't know what PMMA is, it's not a mixed martial arts school. It's actually
Don't test me on this. I don't know. I don't remember what it is. I looked it up once, yeah.
It starts with an A. It's like when you want to shorten like a phrase and you use letters. I almost had it. It's at the tip of my goddamn tongue.
Okay, it's PC. PC is barrel cap and crown is PC resin. So it's, I guess, like plastic or something carbonate. I forget.
Right. So it's cheap plastic. It's not PMMA. PMMA stands for polymethyl methacrylate. So the benefit
of... So it's polycarbonate resin for the cap and the... But there is PMMA in the grip. The grip says it's PMMA resin.
They should have just made the whole fucking thing out of PMMA. Oh, then it would have costed a lot more, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So polymethyl methacrylate, and the benefit behind it is it has a lot of the benefits of acrylic. So it can be polished. It's resistant to scratches. It doesn't discolor over time. It's not as brittle and fragile as just regular injection molded plastic. And that's probably why they put it in the grip, because you're grabbing it and they want this pen to have longevity, although the body is not made of the polymethyl methacrylate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But this pen cannot be redeemed as far as I'm concerned.
And it would be pretty hard to clean and disinfect, I would say.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
There's too many moving parts. You lose a spring. God, can you imagine? It's like, oh, my first day with my stupid fucking platinum Curados at work. I'm going to take it home and I'm going to clean it. I got home. I clean it. Drop the spring down the drain.
Well, I don't think it would fit. Well, maybe if you had the stopper. If you don't have a stopper in your drain, it would go right down it.
Yeah, something. But there's just so many things that can go wrong. You could stretch out the spring. You can bend the spring and squash it, like you were saying. It's like, Come on, man. Design something good. Like the Pilot, they got a good design. This one is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gotta know who's coming up with these ideas and who's like looking at this and be like, this is it. This is the way we gotta go. This is the way of the future. We're gonna add nubs on every pen. So it could annoy half the population, but it won't annoy the other half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of polarizing in that fact. It's like, oh, I love it, or it's just people are gonna be like, nah, this looks ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, write into the pendertainmentpodcast@gmail.com. pendertainmentpodcast@gmail.com. Give us your opinion on what you think of the Platinum Curados, whether you have it or not. If you have it, give us your thoughts. If you don't have
it, give
us your
thoughts. Are you still looking forward to getting one, too? I want to know if there's still people out there that are looking forward to getting one. Or if you were looking forward to getting one, missed out on the initial batch that came in the United States, and now you've heard people's stories about it, and now you don't want one.
Right. Or... let me just make this disclaimer, because I know that it has to be made. If you own a Platinum Curados and you love it, this is no way challenging or denying you of your identity. That is great. I'm glad you love it. It's a better scenario for you to have it and love it than to have it and hate it. So if you have it and love it, this is in no way an attack on your identity, your person, or your pen. Okay? Don't be butthurt. But if you do have it and you hate it, let us know. I want to know. If you have it and you love it, let us know. I want to know. What is that?
Curious.
What's all that barking?
Somebody's probably passing in front, because we got, the dogs now, they're like, they just continue to bark. And I think the new one, Aria, is making our current dog, Lucy, she's making her more vocal, so like anytime that dogs pass by or like somebody's walking by, which a lot of people are now that it's kind of getting a little bit nicer outside, people walking around the neighborhood, so like they bark at everything that passes by now.
Mm-hmm.
So even though like my dog used to, Lucy, before we had the second one, she just kind of would just stare, and sometimes she would like kind of bark if it was a dog that was walking by, but now it's like everything gets barked at.
That's good. That's what happens when you have a dog.
Yeah. Now it's like having another Alexa or the Ring doorbell. So it's like having that extra bit of security.
Yeah, you don't even need it anymore. You could unplug that shit now. You have dogs. You have dogs.
Although,
man,
someone did come from Amazon to drop off a package this morning while like kind of everybody was still sleeping, and I heard the Ring doorbell. They didn't ring the bell, but I heard the motion was detected, and they didn't say anything. So somebody actually came to the door, dropped off the package, and then just left, and they didn't bark or anything like that. So, I don't know. They have their off and on moments. Right, maybe so they were off duty at that moment. They just didn't realize
it. Well, they have working hours. You gotta mix up the you gotta stagger their schedules and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I we have to pay them overtime, especially at Sunday. So
yeah. Jeez. Holy cow.
Time and a half.
Write us in. I want to know about your opinion on the Platinum Curados and also how you guys plan to or intend to deal with utilizing your fountain pens when you get home. How do you plan on cleaning them? Are you even going to do anything? Are you just bold and you're going to take your pens to work and come home and not wash them? Or if you do plan on washing them, how do you plan on washing them? What kinds of stuff do you plan on using to wash them and whatnot? Or if your habit's going to change when it comes to going to work with pens. Write us in. I'm going to cut it short today. We're going to keep it at 35 minutes like we initially planned.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm so proud of myself. I don't think people can tolerate a full hour. I don't know. Let us know. Do you like a full hour? Do you like 35 minutes? Write us in at thepentertainmentpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. Love you guys. Be well. Be safe.
Stay inky.